God is good. Amen. Come out to Testimony Night. You're going to be so blessed. And why don't you stand this morning and take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Amen. How many enjoy leftovers this week? I love leftovers. Aren't they awesome? Amen. I mean, they are so good, and I just appreciate, you know, those things that you have, and it seems some things get better. It's like chili. Chili the first day is not that great, but chili the second day, all the juices and stuff simmer together, and it's just so good. Amen. God is good. Let's look at this. A wonderful scripture. It says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know the will of God? This is the will of God. Amen? Here's God's will. Let's hold up our Bible this morning and let's say it like we mean it today. Come on, say it with Pastor. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn around and give somebody a virtual high five this morning and say, we serve a good, good God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the world celebrates a Thanksgiving Day, but as a believer, every day should be Thanksgiving. It's not just one day that we are to set aside and say, oh, thank you, Lord. No, every day of life, every moment of life should be a Thanksgiving celebration of praise and honor to God. Amen? Because praise and thanksgiving are so powerful. One reason it's so powerful is it gets the focus off of what you're going through and put the focus on Him. And when we put our focus on Him, we know that all things are possible with God. And so when our focus is on Him, we are elevating the Lord in our life, and we're not elevating the problem or the situation we're in. Praise is a powerful, powerful weapon. And Paul said here in Thessalonica, in everything, he didn't say for everything. You know, we don't give thanks for everything, but when we find ourselves in something, we give thanksgiving, we give praise, and we honor God. And the reason we do that, because we know God is bringing us out of whatever we're in. You don't have to stay in where you are this morning. God wants you to be out and not just be in something. He wants you free from everything. Hallelujah. And over in Hebrews 13:15, I want you to look at this scripture this morning, because this is a great scripture, and it really helps us in life. He said, therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. He didn't say just one time a year. He didn't say one time a week, one time a month. But He said, continually, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, opening up our mouth and praising His name. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen. Because I want to tell you, there is nothing like praising God. You cannot give praise to God and feel bad at the same time. It's impossible. Amen. Because really, when we begin to praise Him and honor Him and worship Him, it just does something to us. And you realize where God lives and inhabits right now? The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. So if you're looking for God, He's found in praise. And this is so cool. I love this. Therefore, let us continually, everybody say continually, offer the sacrifice of praise. Why is it a sacrifice? What is a sacrifice of praise? A sacrifice of praise is when you don't feel like it. I want to ask you something. Has anybody ever been there where you didn't feel like it? Where your emotions were kind of raw and that's why it's called a sacrifice of praise. Because God knew there'll be times when through seasons of our life that we don't really feel like praising Him. And so God says, he gave us this scripture, make it a sacrifice of praise. And a sacrifice of praise is basically a crazy praise. A crazy praise is when it really doesn't make sense, but you're going to praise him anyway. And I want to tell you, praising people find themselves on top of situations instead of under situations. Praising people are above the circumstances and not below the circumstances. Praising people have a different outlook on life because they trust a God that is a good, good God. He's going to see them through every situation. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, he's really preaching good. He must have missed last Sunday. I want to give you some incidences in the Bible of some areas where people praise the Lord. And just to look at what happened and how praise dynamically changed that situation and changed their life. If you'll go over to Luke chapter 17 and look at verse 13 through 19. Luke 17, 13 through 19. The Bible says that there were 10 lepers that came to Jesus and asked to be healed. Leprosy was a terrible and is still a terrible disease in many third world countries. Leprosy kept people away from worship, away from family. They were quarantined. I hate quarantine. I hate that word. Anybody else with me? I hate that word, quarantine. That word is not one of my favorite vocabulary. It's almost a cuss word. It's like, come on, somebody. Let's get through this thing. Let's live life. Let's believe God. Let's celebrate the goodness of God. Let's take the mask off. You mean that's like, you know, I'm just like, I like to see people smile in faces. I don't know about you, but looking at a mask just doesn't do me a whole lot of good. We tried the other day. Have you guys played this trick yet? Have you put your mask on and you ask your wife, can you tell if I'm smiling or not? Has anybody done that? Just us. I know we're kind of weird, so, you know. But the other day he said, hey, baby, put your mask on. Let me see if I can tell if you're smiling or not. You know, I did. I could tell. You know, I got it right. So, hallelujah. But I'm telling you, we're going to get through this season, church. Listen to me. We're going to get through this season. We're coming through it victorious. Turn to somebody and say, you're going to be all right. Turn to somebody else and say, God's got you. Amen. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this time. Amen. The church is going to shine greater than it ever has before. And we're going to get through this season. Amen? So the lepers came to Jesus and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Amen. Look at the next verse. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. They had to go, and the priests had to go through this examination process to make sure they were clean, not full of leprosy, because leprosy was considered even like a sin, that they could even go back into public display or go back into public fellowship. They had to go before the priest and go through this examination. So Jesus sent them to the priest. And so it was as they went, listen, they were cleansed. Aren't you glad for the word of Jesus? Be quick to obey the word of Jesus. But listen to this next verse. This is so interesting. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice began to glorify God and praise God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. They put that note in there. He was not even a Jew. He wasn't considered an outcast, but he realized how good God was and how good Jesus is and that God healed him right where he was. And he could not help but open his mouth and return and give him praise. And listen to what Jesus said. I love this. So Jesus answered, well, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Wow. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. There is such a connection between thanksgiving and faith. Praise and thanksgiving is the highest form of faith. You are operating in the very highest form and power of faith has to offer when you are praising God over a situation that you haven't seen changed yet. When you start praising Him, it's what you're saying to God, I believe it's already done. I believe it's already finished. I believe I've got the answer, God. I thank you I have the wisdom for this situation right now. I thank you, God, I'm not going to be defeated. I'm going up, I'm not going down. I thank you, Lord, I'm overcoming every day of my life. I thank you, God, you're directing me. I thank you, Lord, by your stripes, I am healed. No matter what the doctor may say, I know what the Word of God says, and I declare what God's Word says over me. When you begin to praise Him, you've just elevated yourself into a faith arena. And when you're in the faith arena, you have the ability to access everything that God has provided by grace. And praise puts you in that place because praise gets you out of the flesh and over into the Spirit. Besides that, you just absolutely drive the enemy crazy when you praise God. Because that was his place in heaven. He was the third archangel. He was in charge of all the worship in heaven and all the music in heaven. And when you start praising the Lord, he's like, oh my gosh, they're taking my place. You make him absolutely mad when you start praising Jesus. Why don't you just make him mad right now? Would you just lift your hands and give God a good hand clap of praise? Amen. Wow. You know what? In the Old Testament, God cursed those who would not glorify Him. Do you realize that? Look at Malachi 2, 1 and 2. I'm so glad the curse has been reversed. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. But I want to show you this. Malachi 2, 1 and 2. Look at this. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you did not take it to heart. Praising God is such a powerful, intimate thing that we have the opportunity to do. It is something that should be in our DNA on a regular basis. When we get up in the morning, we shouldn't say, oh, Lord, morning. We should say, good morning, Lord. Amen? Thanksgiving and praise leads to multiplication and provision. Thanksgiving and praise leads to multiplication and division. How many wants some multiplication happening in your life? How many wants some multiplication happening over your finances? Anybody? I want to tell you, praise will add multiplication to your finances and provision for your life. Amen? Look at John 6, 11 through 14. John 6, 11 through 14. I love this. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, when he had praised, when he had worshiped, he distributed them to the disciples. If that's good enough for Jesus, don't you think it's good enough for us? He distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. Wow. So when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those which had eaten. Come on, somebody. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this truly the prophet who has come to the world. Jesus turned what looked like not enough into a more than enough situation because of praise and thanksgiving. Whenever we start praising him and opening up our mouths and begin to magnify the Lord, all of a sudden, what seems like it's not enough will become more than enough because of God and his anointing on you. That same anointing that Jesus had of thanksgiving and praise is the same anointing that we have when we put up the sacrifice of praise out of our lips. Amen. And what he's done is he'll do it again, and he wants to multiply us with the goodness of God and the provision of God. Turn to somebody and say, in fact, there is not only multiplication and provision, but look at me right now. Turn to somebody and say, there is dead raising power in praise. There is dead raising power in praise. Turn to somebody else and say, it's not too late. It's not too late. Amen. Listen, there is such power in praise, it can raise something dead right back to life. John 11, 41, 42. John 11, 41, 42. Love John. Love John. Grace, man. Then they took away the stone. Anytime you take the law away, people see. Anytime the law is taken away, people see Jesus. I just want to put that there. Amen. They took away the stone that was placed there where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. Isn't that good? That's some confidence. Praise puts you in a place of confidence. Praise puts you in a place of authority. And I know that you always heard me, but because the people are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. He didn't just say, get up. He had to specifically say Lazarus, because every grave would have gotten up if he had just said, get up at that time. But he raised Lazarus up from the dead who had died through the power of praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving will bring dead things back to life when we begin to honor God and celebrate God. Some things that you thought were dead and gone, God says, I've got a resurrection for that. Amen. And I want to tell you, when God restores something, he makes it better than new. Amen. God is so able to restore dead relationships, dead friendships, dead people, dead things, dead circumstances, dead businesses. God is able to bring them all back to life and infuse his life in them when we begin to praise him. Okay, let me do a little teaching right here. Someone would say, Pastor, do you pray for everybody that's dead to come back to life? No. What? No. I don't pray for everybody that dies to come back to life. I am led by the Spirit of the Lord to pray for those who die to come back to life, but I don't pray for everyone who dies to come back to life. Why is that? Because most of the time we have such a different perspective, as Ray and I were sharing this morning, on death. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, Paul was saying, it's far better for me to die than it is to live, but while I'm living for you and for Christ. And so, listen, there are times in our life when people die, and we pray and we know to pray them back to life. We can believe God for that, and I believe we can see them come back to life. I have seen people come back to life. Amen? I have seen people that had 2 or 3 days to live and come back to life. There are times when we pray that way, but there's other times when we know that they're far better off than they are here. Far better off, because they're physically whole in every way. Now, God can completely heal them, restore them here. He certainly can do that. But we need to understand that there's times we don't pray for people when they go on. We just let them go and say, thank you, God. We're going to see you on the other side, because they're enjoying much, and some of them don't want to come back. It's like, hey, I'm happy here. Leave me alone, would you? Why do I want to come back there and go through all this again? Come on, somebody. I'm enjoying all of eternity with my... I am in the very presence of Jesus. Amen. I am here on streets of gold. Man, I've got all this stuff going on in my life. I'm whole, healthy, and young. Why do I want to come back and be old and puny and ugly? So there's times when we... pray people back to life. There's times when we let them go because they're gaining, they're not losing. If there's any loss, folks, it's our loss here because of the sorrow and the emotion attachment we have. But there is no loss in them. They're all complete in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, there's times that people where they've died and they still haven't fulfilled all their mission. And if they still haven't fulfilled all their mission, then we can have the right to pray for them, pray over them, and bring them back to life. But there's times in life where people have fulfilled their mission. We may not have thought they have fulfilled their mission, but they knew they have fulfilled their mission. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I lay down my life. Amen. Paul had the power to lay down his life. Do you realize, I believe we can get to the point where we have the power to absolutely lay down our life. That sickness doesn't have to take us out of this world, but we can just lay down our life someday and say, I'm finished. Take me up. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Jesus. Amen? That's why we have the Spirit of the Lord operating in our life. We have the Spirit of the Lord because we know when to lay hands on people and when not to lay hands on people. When to pray people back and when not to pray people back. Does anybody believe we can pray people back in this church besides Pastor? I believe we can pray people back. I know we have the power to do that. Amen? Absolutely, unequivocally, we have the power to do that. And there's times when we do that. I did not feel, I prayed for my father-in-law to live. I said, Popo, I'd love for you to live. That was selfish on my part because I love that man so much. Amen? But I realized as the Lord spoke to me that he's far better off today than he is here. Let me tell you, all of us would be far better off there than we are here. Amen? I mean, that is what all of us are looking forward to. That's why I love the hope that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we don't sorrow as those who don't have hope. We have a constant expectation of good. Amen? And I want to tell you, we would be far better off there. And that's why Paul said, for me to die is gain, baby. I'm gaining here, amen? But you know why I'm here? I'll hang around and help you out a little bit. So, listen, death for the Christian is just stepping over to the other side. The Bible says we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't stop there. We just pass through it. And we are in more life than we've ever experienced before because we're in the fullness of the Spirit. We cannot stand in this flesh all that heaven has for us. That's why we're spirit beings. You couldn't take it. It is so powerful, so glorious, and so beautiful. Amen. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, you comfort me. Man, God is a good, good God. And here, Lazarus, it wasn't time for Lazarus' ministry to be finished. And Jesus came to Lazarus' grave. He lifted up his voice. He gave thanks to God, and he called Lazarus forth. And Lazarus had to respond and come out. Amen? You can call people forth out of the grave clothes in the name of Jesus if it's not their time and you have a witness in your spirit that you know it's not their time. I believe you can call them right back here to this earth. They may slap you when they get back. What are you doing? I've heard so many testimonies of people that have died and gone to heaven and came back and they wish they were there because it was the most peaceful, beautiful place they'd ever been before. Thank God for the power of praise. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Amen. Abraham, Romans 4, 19 through 20. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, it's not too late for you. Not being weak in faith, we used this a few weeks ago. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. Already dead since he was about 100 years old. He didn't consider it, and nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, right? He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. How was he strengthened in faith? By giving glory to God. When we give glory to God, it just shores us up. Amen. It just puts us on another level. It just brings us into this place of authority, and we speak that authority over that situation. And that's exactly what Abraham did. It just strengthened him, amen, to speak forth what he was believing for. I love it. Amen. When we praise God, God always shows up. Acts 4:24, amen? Acts 4:24, hallelujah. So when they heard that, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Look at verse 31, amen? Drop on down. And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit as they spoke the word of God with what? Boldness. When Peter and John were released after preaching the gospel, they lifted their voices to God and gave praise. And when they prayed, the whole place was shaken. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Yeah. Praise God. Acts 16:25. Paul and Silas put into prison. Acts 16:25. Look at this. Amen. But at midnight, everybody say midnight. It's amazing, you know, some of us may be in a midnight hour right now, but don't worry about it. Praise to get you out of that place. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. Now, guys, they were not on a beach somewhere at a Holiday Inn. They're in prison, and they were locked in the inner prison. They had been beaten. And here at midnight, in the darkest hour, instead of whining and complaining and saying, Paul, I wish I'd never listened to you. Silas, what'd you do? What'd you get me here for? Paul, I'm never going to follow you again. Silas, shut up. No, they weren't doing that. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and praising, singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Can you get this picture? Here they are. They're in the inner cell. The inner cell is like the bottom of the pit. It's like everything from above falls down below. You got to get a picture of this, including human feces dripping on them in the bottom of the pit. And at midnight, and they were beaten at midnight, and at midnight, and at midnight. Some of you have been through a midnight. I'm going to tell you, dawn's coming. Amen? And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were hearing them, so they weren't just singing a little, Kumbaya, Lord, Kumbaya. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors, praise will open the doors that no man can shut. All the doors were open and every one's chains fell off. Not only will it open doors, it will cause chains to fall off in your life. Whatever you're bound by, whatever you're going through right now, when you start giving God a crazy praise, it doesn't make sense, you don't understand, but you know that God, you trust God, and that God's going to get you through this, you know that things are going to start shaking. Amen? Look at this. I love this. Look at this verse. Amen. Let's go on down. Next verse. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep, seeing the prison doors and supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. And Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. God has set them free, and there they were standing there, and this prisoner guard was about to commit harikiri, and God says, don't do no harm. You know, God will prevent suicide through praise. Suicide is a deep, dark depression. It's a turning inward of only focusing on you and your situation. But as you begin to understand how much God loves you, how much he cares for you, that God's got good purpose for your life, and all of a sudden, if you can muster up a praise to Jesus, I want to tell you, he'll turn that suicide spirit around. Amen. I can't tell you the testimonies of people that have been healed and delivered on about to commit suicide because God showed up in that dark hour. I want to tell you, God is in your darkest hour right now. He'll show up for you. He'll turn on the light. Amen. You just turn your face towards him and know that he has you. He says, don't do yourself any harm. We are all here. Look at what the prisoner said. Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Look at this. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Man. Then he said, believe. on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Not only you, but your household will be saved. That's what I love about this Jesus, man. He goes further than we ever can think, amen? He said, not only you, but your whole household is going to be saved. I believe in household salvation. How about you? In-laws, outlaws, all those laws, amen? God has got their number. And when we begin to praise him, things begin to happen in relationships and throughout our family. Instead of grumbling, start praising. Instead of grumbling about your situation, well, I wish my husband would change, start praising God over that situation. Watch it change, amen? Instead of grumbling about your wife, oh, I wish you'd be a better cook, start praising God and believing, amen? God can turn that around. Hello? Well, I wish this would happen. Start praising God. God will turn your situation around through praise. God hates grumbling and complaining, but he loves praise. Amen. He promises that we praise and thank him. He will answer us even before we call. Look at Isaiah 65, 24. Let me show you this one before we go today. Isaiah 65, 24. Amen. This is a powerful scripture. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will what? Hear them. Look at Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Paul writing from prison. Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Love this scripture. Amen. Powerful scripture. Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. Always be rejoicing. Don't you appreciate people with a good attitude? Who's that character on Charlie Brown that has a little rain cloud following them everywhere? Is that Linus? Linus, everywhere he goes, it's raining, right? Amen. Don't be one of those people. Go out and make some sunshine. Go out and make Jesus shine. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Your meekness, your calm spirit is what that's talking about. Why? Why can we have a calm spirit with everything that's going on in the world? Simple, because the Lord is at hand. Look at the next verse. Amen. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. How simple is this? And when we do, the very peace of God, the shalom of God, the nothing lacking, nothing broken, which surpasses all understanding. People don't understand why you're not falling apart when you're going through it. And the reason you're not falling apart, because you have an attitude of gratitude towards God. Turn to somebody and say, you don't have to fall apart. We'll guard your heart. Go back, brother. We'll guard your heart. We'll guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Praise is good for your mental aspect. It will relieve stress out of your life like nothing else when you begin to praise him. One of the reasons I love coming to worship on Sunday mornings is when we begin to enter into praise. Because when we enter into praise, I can tell a shift in the whole atmosphere. Amen? I don't know if you're aware of that or you can sense that or you can feel that in your own self, but when you praise, there's a shift in the atmosphere. Things begin to get so positive and bright when we begin to praise the Lord. Amen? Through your hearts and minds. Let's go on down in just a few minutes this morning. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy. Turn to somebody and say, get off of Fox News for a while. Get off CNN don't even go there. Amen. Get off some of that junk for a while. Some of the stuff you're listening to is not praiseworthy. It's not good for your mental health. Amen. And you don't need to be meditating on those things. Oh, God, what are we going to do if Biden gets to be president or Obama gets back in office? Or, what? Oh, God, what's going on? Oh, God. Turn to somebody and say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Oh, why don't they take the guns? Folks, I'm telling you, it's going to be all right. God's got you. Meditate on these things. Put your mind and focus on the goodness of God and the things of God. Amen. God's going to take care of these things. I'm not saying don't do your part as a citizen. Do your part as a citizen. Amen. Uphold the Constitution. It is your constitutional right to uphold the Constitution. Okay, I'm going to say this, I'm going to quit. I own guns. I'm a gun-toting preacher. I have a lot of guns. I'd like to have a lot more guns. Nobody but Jesus is going to come and get my guns. I'm just saying, amen? I'm just saying. Why is that? Because I believe in the Constitution. I am a constitutionalist. I believe in the Constitution of the United States as written, not changed. And I believe I have a Second Amendment right. Was that good preaching or is that just meddling? I'm not for sure. But either one, as a body of believers, you need to understand your rights, not only as a citizen of the kingdom of God, but as the citizens of the United States and the citizenship which we're under at this time. Amen? You need to understand that. But you need not let politics affect your mental being so much that you feel like you can't function, you get in a funk, and you can't share the good news with other people because you're walking around just consumed about what's going on in Washington, D.C. Be consumed with what's going on with Jesus Christ. Pray for those in Washington, D.C. God is good. God's a good, good God. It doesn't matter who got all the votes. I'm going to tell you, because where sin is, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So no matter how bad it looks, grace is always abounding over how bad it looks. You got to take that to heart and believe that, because I didn't say that. God said that. Grace is abounding today. Grace is going to abound in America. The darker it is, the lighter the church will be. So let's light up the world for Jesus. Come on, let's stand on your feet, give God some praise this morning. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Feel like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall today. I love you guys. You are awesome. Amen. Let's hold up our hands this morning. Let's make a few confessions before we go today. Father, we thank you today. And we praise your name. Praise is upon my lips, upon my mind, and in my heart. I will choose to praise you and to honor you in all circumstances. Thank you, God, for the power of praise. I put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I rebuke anything that is not a good thought, not from you, and not praiseworthy. Thank you today for my family, my friends, my life. I give you praise and glory for my health, for my finances, for everything in my life. It is yours, Lord, and I give you praise. I honor you today, and I worship you. In the mighty name of Jesus, my focus is on you. And I thank you for it. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give God some praise this morning. God is a good, good Father. Hey, before you go this morning, you know, maybe you haven't got to wish somebody a happy Thanksgiving yet or tell them thank you, but just be kind to somebody this morning. Tell them you love them. Turn around and say, you know, I am so thankful for you. Would you do that today? Let them know you love them. God bless you this morning. Amen. Thursday night testimony. Come out, enjoy a meal, break bread with us. My heart.